as its bigger ground merger, then programming them is the final art form. That was a big insight this week, so I announced on the McLuhan fan group.
That's the annotation of the blood.
No, wait a minute. That's just media environments. Ion comes after that. Once you get into the Android meme where there are no media environments to orchestrate, it's all on a global membrane with fragmenting multiple bodies, that is what is the content for Ion. But the stage before that McLuhan got to was orchestrating the media environments, not fixing up the pollution on the natural environment. That's the first rearview mirror after the satellite. But once the satellite is interacting with mixed corporate media and holopathizing, miniaturizing, minimalizing, that leads to the orchestrating of the old media environments. That's the final McLuhan idea. And no one's ever said that before. That was the big breakthrough this week. Now, Zappa tries to put that into music with his Dio Fa opera. But that's all we'll say there. So in 1972, his album Apostrophe came out in 74, I'm pretty sure. In 1972-74, his album Apostrophe invoked Robert Flaherty's documentary film Nanook of the North with lyrics aimed against strictly commercial seal trappers. Strictly commercial in quotes. So Robert Flaherty is a famous anthropological document of an Eskimo living in the Arctic called Nanook of the North. You know, it's made in the 30s or something. In 1972, his album Apostrophe invoked Robert Flaherty's documentary film Nanook of the North with lyrics aimed against strictly commercial seal trappers. Now, this whole extreme North image that Zappa is writing about is the modern person. The modern person is like an Eskimo in the 1670s. They're very Paleolithic in the electronic effect. So it's actually appropriate that Zappa took the Eskimo image. Then it says, today
and
Zappa's
he's retrieving the shamans.
Beg your pardon?
And that he retrieves the Siberian shamans.
Very good. Today, that's what his next sentence is. Today, Zappa's Tuvan shamans have us thinking about global warming and the Arctic ice cap. The high freak note achieved by their throat singing is uncanny, nearly beyond our hearing range. And so far above the musical stave, it feels as if the top of your head is spinning, or maybe even levitating. Now, I don't get all that from listening to Tuvan. I get a basic instinctive liking it. But you, Roxy, get all that weirdness, right?
Well, I suppose if you do the singing, there are these types of real highs.
Real
because
high.
You are, you're vibrating.
Right.
And these shamans get high on this.
Well, that's the Fa Sol La experience. You put in the middle of it and you're vibrating to the group doing the sounds at you, right?
Yeah.
So he then quotes a book by Conrad Bayer, Der Kopf von Vitus Bering, published shortly after his suicide in 1964. This book speculates about the Northwest Passage and what traversing the top of the globe, top in quotes, does to your sense of self. The book's Wiener Group Surrealism, so apparently the book has surrealism in it. The book's Wiener Group Surrealism is founded on psychic fact. When the world is presented to us as globe, or our primitive unscientific self, brackets our unconscious, thinks of it as a head, our head. Hence the disappearance of the Arctic ice cap is imagined today as trepanation. That's drilling in your skull, right? Trepanation. Something
mm-hmm.
practiced by Siberian shamans and brought by the Siberian shamans to the Maya when Homo sapiens first migrated north from Africa across the Arctic and then down into the Americas. Specialists in Nordic history often show a map which places Scandinavia at the center. Vikings have apparently penetrated the globe in every direction, resulting in contact with Celts, Anglo-Saxons, Gaels, Slavs, Arabs, and the Byzantines. In contrast, the Anglo-American map of the world is a stable oblong with the same proportions as a landscape oil painting. Voyages across the Atlantic and beneath the continents of America and Africa appear as the inevitable and obvious pursuit of trade routes in quotes. Maps looking down from the North Pole imply something entirely different. In brackets, no wonder the Arctic fascinated the Nazis. End of bracket. On Dance Me This, Zappa left us with a song of the world as old as the Stone Age. Come with the whole album. It's a song of the world as old as the Stone Age. An archaic throwback, but it was designed to open your head to new relations. New relations, which are being forced on us willy-nilly. Now, here is where... Beg your pardon? Now, speak clearly. What?
Say what you want to say.
Okay.
Say what you want to say.
No, you say. I'm going to have a longer thought, so say what you're going to say.
Yes. Last week, I was saying whatever we were talking about was related to this article. And I mentioned, for example, that many people that had accidents, that or warriors that got wounded, had this type of experience of seeing all the lives
right
before their eyes. And there are some studies that think the right side of the brain somehow connects to the archive.
To the what? Archive.
To the
Akashic records.
Akashic.
Your personal Akashic,
what
yeah.
What Ion calls the soul, the recording of all your
right.
life. And the Mayas and many ancient cultures were doing this type of trepanations, and I think to imitate what happened by accident, that people connected to something else.
Yeah.
They wanted to open their heads
yes.
to the non-physical.
So oh, that's why it's titled Open Your Head. I see your point. Yes, it's trepanation. Hmm. Zappa does trepanation.
Yes, and I would like to ask Ion about that theories about the right side of the brain connecting to something that we think our memories are in our brain, but there are other theories that say there is some type of archive that is not in our biology and that we connect to that. And sounds like what Ion is saying, that record is this recording.
Right. So, Bert, if you're here, if Ion comes tomorrow and you're here, remember to ask these questions.
Yes, and that will also explain what Ion says, that We will know everything.
Yes, we'll know everything.
That we will know. We will connect to this.
Right. Now, I was wondering why he was going into all this Arctic stuff. But then you get to the disappearance of the Arctic ice cap is imagined today as trepanation. Something, what the disappearance. It's a global trepanation. We've punctured the globe. Right, so that's why he's talking about the head trepanation, and there's some kind of global effect. Now, these ideas, and he says Zappa is showing Taylor...
Well, there is also the idea of the hole in the ozone layer.
Yes, yeah, good point, yeah. That's a trepanation, right. So, I wasn't thinking about that, but when he says... On Dance Me This, Zappa left us with a song of the world as old as the Stone Age, an archaic throwback. After, you know, reading McLuhan since the 50s about how our electric age is Paleolithic, not Neolithic. We have caveman sensibilities. He's writing in the 50s and early 60s that advertising is art on the cave walls of suburbia. This idea that we're not going, the Stone Age has been retrieved. That's a larger idea. So Frank's idea about being archaic throwback is not interesting to me. It's not a big enough idea. McLuhan's is a bigger. McLuhan brings in the figure ground. The satellite retrieves the Stone Age. And so Zappa is a reflection of that. He instinctively might know that conceptually we are Paleolithic again, so he makes this happen. But I don't think he invited the Tuvan singers. Well, somehow they got there. But I don't know the story of why they're in his studio. Maybe he heard them and liked them. All right, let's say he invited them. And he knows he wants to make an archaic throwback. But it's not... It's more important that we have that world happening now, plus a newer world and more ancient world, which is Ion, more ancient than Paleolithic. Those are the kind of ideas that makes me more impressed with McLuhan and maybe Thompson than Frank. Frank makes great music, but the idea level is not that impressive, or Ben's interpretation not that impressive. Ben should know... Anybody who talks about the Stone Age should know that we have retrieved it. That's a new idea for you, Ben. Bert, you might have heard me say it before, but until you met me, you never heard of the idea that we're living in a retrieval of the Stone Age plus other stuff.
No, right? Never heard that.
Because you have a linear view. You think the Stone Age is a million years back. You know, you have a linear. We're breaking up your linear thing, and Ion does that, breaks up your linear idea of time. So this is where...
This is also the idea of McLuhan saying advertisement was like the art in the cage.
Yes.
That is there, but it's not to be seen.
Not to be noticed.
And then also in the Matrix, you have the party in the cave.
Right. Is that the Merovingian scene? I forget that. Is that the Merovingian scene?
No, that's
Sion.
They're going...
Oh, Sion,
before
that was in the cave, right, the dance.
Yes.
Before the big...
before the bad
bubble, they have the rave in the cave.
Right, the rave, that's right, the big rave. So Ben's impressed with these ideas. When I leave my Song of the World, it's not going to be, take us all the way back Stone Age. It's going to be something totally fucking different. Thanks to Ion, right? First of all, I ain't leaving. I'll send it to those people that are leaving. I ain't leaving. You will be leaving, and I'll send this to you on your way. Take this on your trip to the non-guff. So this is where you can become... If you don't know McLuhan stuff, you might be impressed with this. Ben is impressed with Zappa. He needs a little more McLuhan to tamp down, because he's always citing Zappa in all his essays, to the socialists, to the anarchists. He's always talking about Zappa. And he's like a one-note thing. I think he could have a deeper appreciation of Zappa if he knew McLuhan literally, in depth, the meme of McLuhan, or LaRouche or Thompson. Okay, so we continue. That clock's moving along. Okay.
Yes.
Zappa was acutely aware that evoking ancient ritual through modern technology is absurd. Brackets. In the decades after Dance Me This, since 1993, this Riefenstahl, she's the one who filmed the Nazis at Nuremberg, this Riefenstahl tactic was reprised ad nauseum in metal music, ambient, and trance. This retrieving...
Yes, the thing is, Riefenstahl went to Africa, and he was many years making portraits of African tribes, just like to show that she was not a racist.
Is that right? Was she aware of that when she did Nuremberg? Or did she go there to...
No, but I suppose... She was trying to make up to her idea of a superior race.
Right.
Then she went to portray the beauty of the tribes in Africa before they disappear forever.
She's trying to show she's trying to claim I was showing tribal ritual.
Yeah, that she's not a Nazi racist.
No.
That she is into aesthetic.
That's right.
Beauty.
Right. Now, Zappa was acutely aware that evoking ancient ritual through modern technology is absurd. That's a tricky statement. Ancient ritual is evoked through modern technology. Is Ben saying McLuhan's idea of retrieving ancient ritual via technology is absurd? Not sure. It is an effective electric environment, so you would see through the satellite environment, see through the effect. You would not be fascinated by Terence McKenna's celebrating of the archaic thing that his book title talks about, the archaic revival, because it's just a knee-jerk response to the electric situation, which is going to become way more than retrievals of ancient tribalism. McLuhan always said that the present situation was not tribal. Mass-Man was not tribal. The rearview mirror projected tribalism into it. So that kind of sophisticated distinction is what will lead to ION. Okay, so this Riefenstahl tactic was reprised ad nauseum in metal, ambient, and trance. Zappa's opener, the eponymous Dance Me This, begins with a resonant F chord, which is utterly pop, utterly commercial, utterly mainstream. You think you heard that? Did you hear the resonant F chord?
Yeah. Yes. If you play what you played before, like he says, there is this very standard accompaniment of the piano.
Okay, here goes. This is Dance Me This. This opens the album.
And then this is the collision.
Okay, that piano kind of thing, that's the mainstream thing?
Yes.
Like the first 3 seconds.
For example, you have in the Hammond organs or in the Casio keyboards, you have this accompaniments, samba, rumba, tango.
Yeah.
And it's like a standard type of playing along.
Playing along?
Frank, yeah, like for each musical genre, there is a type of accompaniment.
Accompaniment, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Zappa is making fun of that. And because he has this very
because he's going to bring the tuba singers in as accompaniment.
Yes, and this the collision of the Western and this
right
worlds colliding in the electric meme and then in the Andre meme.
Right, I see that. So he's do that again. Sounds a bit like a David Lynch.
That's like very commercial, very
cliche.
And he says, you expect the singer.
Yes.
And you hear this weird high pitch note.
Yeah.
What is that?
Right. And I was going to say something else there. There was, I don't know. So it begins with a resonant F chord with its utterly, which is utterly pop, utterly commercial, utterly mainstream. The piano's repeated phrase is common to country, soul, rock, and reggae, deriving ultimately from the hymn book. So that's what you're talking about, right? He recognizes the cliche.
Yeah, this
That kind of stuff I don't respond to. I'm aware of those cliches and on a feeling level because as soon as the song goes that way, I don't respond. That's why I like Zappa. He didn't. He created something different in his whatever he's doing. Not in this one. This he has the norm because he's going to parody it by bringing in the primitive thing. Ben says you expect a West Coast singer in the mold of Linda Ronstadt to pipe up. The tuba vocals therefore come as a shock. Now, they didn't come as a shock to me. I just liked them. But if you're a McDonald's burger consuming, coffee drinking Berliner, you've got refugees hugging you, and you hate Disneyland, you'll fucking be shocked, right? Then Zappa's Then Zappa's dependable pursuit of musical extension / deviation takes over. The piano figure repeats, but the rhythm track is asymmetrical and non-repeating, out of sync, and becomes a piquant spur to the vocal, which, while weird, is nevertheless breathtakingly infectious. Well, I probably found it infectious, but I didn't know all that was going on. Asymmetrical, non-repeating, out of sync. There's a brief outbreak of Zappa's stadium rock guitar, in brackets, his son Dweezil's guitar rig was set up in the home studio at the time, close bracket. This guitar is dubbed over the digital synclavier collage. This is the sonic equivalent to pasting a 16th century woodcut of a cloud over a modern color photograph. This is the sonic equivalent to pasting a 16th century woodcut of a cloud over a modern color photograph. You are not allowed to hear "Dance Me This" as anything but an artificial concoction. What does that mean? You mean?
Well, I think it's like the cave, the Neolithic cave, against the
suburban home.
Yeah, no, the photograph.
It's but see,
century woodcut.
How is
beyond that?
Is he saying? But putting the Tuvan up against the conventional opening, that's an artificial concoction?
Yes.
You're supposed to know this is an artificial concoction. Well, I don't see what's artificial about it, unless you know the cliche.
No, but he says you are not allowed to hear "Dance Me This" as anything. Oh, yeah. But then I have to be too quick. Well, no, because it's part of the environment as it became with the electric.
Are you agreeing with me or agreeing with Ben?
No, with you.
Yes.
Because everything is sounding. It's the Finnegan's Wake. Here comes everybody and then the Android meme. So it's not artificial. It's what it is. It's the environment as it is.
Well, Ben was a music critic, so he had to judge albums by whether they were commercial or not, commercial sounding. So he looks for that. So for him, it's odd. But if you're an ignorant primitive like myself and an avant-garde ahead of everybody, leading edge, you don't know these cliches. I don't know what it's... I know it, but I never hear it. So this is not a target at me. Zappa's doing this to shock the cheese whiz consumer, right? Somebody who wants Hillary Clinton to be president.
Well, they're expecting a song in the radio.
What they usually get. They have no memory. If they keep wanting the expected cliches in their entertainment, they're not remembering what they're hearing. I may not remember what I'm hearing, but I know what is fucking not useful. Why repeat? Where's Ben? I mean, Bert. Did we get knock him out? What a tragedy. Yes, poor Bert's been knocked out for a while, right, Bert?
Yes,
he
4 hours
of this
Skype.
Artificial concoction.
Bert, you said 2 hours. You haven't been knocked out for 2 hours, Bert. What's your problem? What are you
grieving? 4 hours of Skype. 4 hours of Skype kicks.
Oh, you're talking about that automatic. So what did you say, Roxy?
That he was tired of this artificial concoction.
Yeah. This artificial Bob talk. This mixture of ancient, ionic, pre-Paleolithic nonsense mixed with Captain Beefheart-derived shamanism.
And Tuvan singers.
Yeah, Tuvan. Too many. One too many singers. Tuvan. You are not allowed to hear "Dance Me This" as any but an artificial concoction. Okay. That's targeted for someone else, that sense. Then he says, Ben says, the monumental shamanic introduction of "Dance Me This." Now, it's not that monumental to me. I'm going to listen to "Dance Me This" and get my head blown. It was mild. There was something weak in it. I think I like it more now several times, but I didn't get zapped by the opening of the album. So the monumental shamanic introduction of Dance Be This cannot last. It segued into Pachuco Gavotte. In brackets, the title itself, a typical Zappa yoking of disparates, a Mexican-American street style encounters classical form. Pachuco Gavotte brings in a strict beat, a schoolmaster interrupting play with raps on his lectern. Its key changes are purposefully irrational, like Ronnie Size's Represent, or a theme tune for a television game show which tests intelligence in quotes. Zappa once pointed out that he liked to construct easy songs as garden paths in quotes, but the point was the brick wall in quotes, it led you to smash into. It's the lack of this sensitivity to the segue, the attempt to fit Zappa into the mold of the songwriter rather than composer, which vitiates the Zappa Family Trust's posthumous releases. Okay, let's do that. It's the lack of this sensitivity to the... What?
I like his idea of these little songs being like garden paths.
To lead to a wall.
Yes, and yes, I was thinking like this Pachuco Gavotte was like a cartoon soundtrack.
Pachuco, the actual original one, you mean?
Yes, the thing you played before.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a cartoon, right. I don't
like
know if it
was... Bob, they wanna the Bob. Bob, they wanna.
Bobby Iguana? What's that?
Yeah, you was an iguana.
Oh, yeah, the iguana. Right.
The wall.
The busy Dr. Dean moving about with her purposeful commercial activities. Okay, here's Pachuco. Yeah. That's right, I forgot that's what it was, that ridiculous... Yes, you've got it down. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's a lack of this sensitivity to the segue. So the segue, it cannot last the mood of harmonic climate of Dance Be This, so you go into something different, Pachuco Gavotte. Zappa is aware of the usefulness of shifting that way. He's saying that Gale, and whoever else was responsible for releasing Zappa recordings, did not release recordings that were completely different. You know what I mean? They established some kind of... He's saying they wanted to fit show Frank as a songwriter rather than composer. It's the lack of this sensitivity to the segue, the attempt to fit Zappa into the mold of the songwriter rather than composer, which weakens or vitiates the Zappa Family Trust posthumous releases. That's probably a good point. Like I was saying, release something totally different.
Gale's revenge.
Yes. Who's revenge?
Gale's
revenge, yes.
It's sort of really psychological.
Yeah. I mean, Moon is revealing all this.
Yeah.
Yes, he was like, I'm going to make Zappa just sound like a songwriter.
I'm going to make Zappa sound like a jerky John Lennon. I'm going to get back at him. She knew what he was.
I'm going
she
to
knew
hide
he
the could, great composition.
What?
I'm going to publish this stupid...
Stupid fucking boring, strictly commercial, anti-Dobbstown tract, T-R-A-C-T. So he says, in Dance Me This, the garden path is a rhythmic velocity. That was that dump, the cartoon thing, right? In Dance Be This, the garden path is the rhythmic velocity of Pachuco Gavotte. Then he has colon. When Wolf Harbor, another piece, starts up, you feel you've been ejected headfirst from some sewer outfall into the bottomless depths of a city's murky effluent with no rational harmonic explanation or rhythmic argument to cling on to.
Do you have that one?
Yes. So he's saying we go from Pachuco to Wolf Harbor? That's the shift?
Yes, okay. Like the iguana hits the wall.
Right. So he does it by going from Pachuco's nonsense to Wolf Harbor. Here it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's definitely a shift, right? From the pachinko.
It's like they want to fell into a portal. Wow!
That's right. You went into the sewer. What did he say? You feel you've been ejected headfirst from some sewer outfall into the bottomless depths of a city's murky affluent. Yeah, he goes through a portal. With no rational, harmonic explanation or rhythmic argument to cling on to. Well, that's perceptive of Ben to notice that. But maybe it's obvious when you have normal ears. Okay, so then he says, we've got 10 minutes, so let's see. I don't know if we're going to finish this today. If you examine a score of Wagner's Ring, the timeline represented by the bar divisions sweeps through the layers of instructions as inexorably as the playback cursor moving through a digital sound file. The timeline represented by the bar division sweeps through the layers of instructions as inexorably as the playback cursor moving through a digital sound file. In brackets, only in the 1950s and 1960s did composers emulate jazz by experimenting with different tempi in single pieces. Close bracket. As with The Lord of the Rings, Wagner staged archaic trappings via 19th century illusion mechanism. With J.R. Tolkien, it's the omniscient narrator, in brackets, so effectively challenged by Philip K. Dick. With Wagner, Herr Zeitmeister der Komponist. That's what it is, I guess.
Time. Zeitmeister, master of time.
Yeah, both were definitively pre-Einstein. Now, see, I'd make it more interesting. They were pre-radio, pre-movies. And actually, McLuhan says that romantic poetry anticipated cinema. So you can make a lot more complex, bigger pictures if you put McLuhan stuff into this paragraph. You know what I mean? This is more stuck on the content level.
Yes, and I think the thing with Wagner, he made these fairly long operas because he wanted to expand the form of the opera, but it was not enough. We had to move into, like you say, movies and other types of experience. But he thought the opera that lasts 8 hours.
Yeah, he was anticipating.
It was not enough anymore, yeah.
Well, under the telegraph, he's starting to instinctively intuit that we're going to have lots of time to have media experiences. So, and the Electric
Age. Yes, and all the movies are retrieving the mythical, the big epos, like he was trying to.
He's trying to do it conceptually.
Without the movies.
Yeah,
to do that in a more concise, entertaining way.
Yeah, he didn't realize that he didn't have to make these big tribal retrievals of Freemasonic secret society stuff. It was going to happen right in front of him coming in a couple of decades. But nobody had that kind of foresight in cultures. The cultures went too slow. In the 20th century, we can start to have science fiction and projecting ahead, even though lots of it is juvenile. But really projecting ahead.
Well, there was Jules Verne in.
Yes, Jules Verne.
Jules Verne.
But I think he's at the end. He's just at the beginning of the 20th century. You know, electric telegraph's been around for 50 years. You got H.G. Wells publishing in the 1890s. Now, let me just see if we get Jules Verne. You're thinking on a content level that he's early, but. Not compared to the telegraph. Let's see. Well, Journey to the Center of the Earth, 1864. That's pretty good. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, 1870. It isn't the end of the century. You're right. He's a bit earlier. But it's after the telegraph. And so whatever he was doing, it would be... he's fitting it into geographical things, like going to the center of the Earth or... 20,000 Leagues, he's still got the hypnotism of the geography in his mind. Later, maybe with H.G. Wells, you get into programming societies for 1984 conditioning or something. It's a little more mimetic, dealing with the meme. But, yeah, Jules is a hardware guy. Are you following me? Is it plausible?
Yes.
What I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. So,
yes, because I love how you explain the medias with art, how you see this connection.
Yeah, did you like my in the new Trivium, since the Trivium is visual space, and nobody has visual space by the 1560s except for the bankers and the rich people who are buying art to have some fucking abstract object to be the gold standard for their private wealth, to be the anchor, all right? So they commodify art. So if you're going to deal with the Trivium, which is visual space stuff, you have to deal with the art world. So I say the Trivium is fought between pop art, minimal art, and concept art. That is fucking brilliant. Now, there's the kind of connections you should be impressed with, Roxy, right?
Yes.
That's impressive. You can look fucking insane, but I can explain it, what I mean. Pop art is rhetoric. Conceptual art is, let's see, minimal art. Conceptual art is grammatical, and minimalist art is dialectical because it takes two little notes and just, I don't know, oscillates them, right? What do you think? Does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if that's what I posted. Let me see. I did post it. Is that what I meant? Am I just bullshitting and making it up as I go along here? Probably. But where's the McLuhan thing? Just a second. McLuhan, like I posted there, I think. Yeah, I did. I remember making, I said, I've got to look that up before I talk about it. And I didn't. So I'm stuck here. I had to find out what I meant. I don't even know if I could find it. If you can find it, where did I post this? I don't like wasting my time on this point, but could I, did I post it somewhere? Paramedicology. Jesus, I'm wasting my time.
I'm going to sing Yoko Ono song. I'm wasting my time.
No, we can't find it quick enough. We can't find it quick
enough. I'm wasting my time.
Can you find it? Can you scroll down, like, where did I post it?
I'm about to.
Yeah, you got to go. So, well, we're only halfway through, and that's good. We got a lot of work.
It was fun.
Yes, and
we'll continue.
Yeah, so I've got to find. Okay, just hold a second, since we're wasting. So if we get another minute, I will look up. I have my own inventory, which I sent you. Is that inventory? There it is. Posts. So then you scroll down, find the chart. Hey, 1 minute. Yeah, this is... I keep blowing it. Looks like we're going to fade out. We're going to have to do something, Bert, a little more solid to end this session than this sort of wallowing around.
13.
Searching. Why can't I find... Come on, give it to me. Wow, can't find it. How about this? Here's another one more chance. Bingo, got it. No, I had it wrong. Conceptual art is grammar. Dialectic is minimalist. I blew it. I remember thinking the other day, okay, conceptual art is grammar because, oh, you go back to the essence or concepts. That's grammar, finding the seeds of things. minimalist. Oh, no, I said that. No, I did say that. Minimalist is a dialectic, right? Two units going back and forth.
I don't remember.
I am redeemed. And guess what, Bert? The quadrivium, arithmetic, assassination politics, you know, adding up the body count. Geometry is sports car racing. Music is electronic dance trance music. Astronomy is basketball. So there's your modern trivium. Not way beyond visual
space. That's Bert.
That's Bert, yes. Bert.
Yeah.
You're an astronomer, Bert. You're an astronomer. Okay,
yeah.
Well, now we can we came to the final idea, and we're halfway through the review, and we've come with great patterns, and we appreciate all those.
I'm taking transforming history.
Yes, we're transforming.
With me.
Are you taking that to work? Wow, that's fun to read.
Yes,
yes it is.
How is it going?
Yes, it is.
That? Oh, you got one, Bert?
Yes, I do. I have two.
Wow.
I have the old one and the new one.
Yeah, they're important to have too. So what do you think as you read it, your final thought, Roxy?
Well, I overlay with what you say.
Right.
It's like now we cannot stay in anything anybody else says. It's like
No, do that again. What are your words? We can do what?
Yeah, I think when we read something, we have to overlay. We don't stay in the ideas that
right.
we present.
Yeah.
It's like...
We connect it to other things.
Yeah.
Very good. You're becoming like me. That's well
complete.
Recommended. You're starting to think like me, which can't be turned into a cult. You just learn how to method. It's not commercial. Okay, well, Ami and Bert will do a little bit more. Wrap it
okay.
up or something. But that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you can do more, and maybe next time we can go back and...
No, we're not going to do any more of the review. We want full attendance for that. But we'll leave with this Wagner stuff. Okay. All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks for the Wagner opera.
Yeah. What'd she say?
You can play a Wagner opera.
Ah, play a Wagner opera. Yeah, Oprah. Okay. Talk to you later. So,
auf Wiedersehen.
Oh, yes, auf Wiedersehen.
Ciao. There's a cliche.
There's a cliche, auf Wiedersehen. Okay,
yeah.
See you later. All right, so Bert.